I'm your host, Bill Humphrey. On the line from Maryland is Greg, and joining me in studio is Nate. Nate and Greg, you both wanted to talk about the Donald Sterling story that was pretty big over the weekend. Nate, you just put out an article on arsenalfordemocracy.com, so we'll start with you, actually, and then get to Greg. Walk us through your initial take on this.
Right, so I guess for our listeners that maybe haven't heard some of the audio yet, it basically is a conversation between a woman named V. Stiviano, who I believe was the Los Angeles Clippers archivist for a time, and then I guess was the girlfriend of the owner, Donald Sterling. I guess they are no longer together. And she has released this video or audio tape, which apparently she had made a bunch of tapes and has been continuing to release them.
Basically, she's archiving the team's history.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, she's just doing her job, you know. In addition to receiving large cars, like she got a Ferrari, a couple of Porsches, Range Rovers from Donald Sterling. But, you know, that's a little bit of a different story. So basically, you know, during the conversation, Sterling was getting really mad because she took a picture with basketball legend Magic Johnson, put it on her Instagram. Apparently that's something that, you know, we can't have, because apparently Donald Sterling was under the impression that this woman he's was dating, who's black and Hispanic, she has relatively dark skin, is like clearly of an intermediate ethnicity, not white or Latina, as he, you know, was trying to claim. She was upset and basically asked him like a bunch of these questions, leading some people to ask whether perhaps the whole thing was staged or she was like trying to get a response out of him, which is definitely a possibility. And, you know, he talks about how it's just the culture that exists that like blacks feel a certain way towards Hispanics and, you know, vice versa. And, you know, whites always have to feel a certain way towards black people. Sort of dancing around it without really saying anything. He said much worse things in the past. Donald Sterling was actually sued in the largest housing discrimination settlement ever and was convicted and had to pay about $2.7 million because he was discriminating against black families, Hispanic families, families with small children. So his racism doesn't really... It's not just limited to the basketball scene, but a former GM, Elgin Baylor, who was a legendary basketball player in his own right, basically described the Clippers as a plantation, saying that just the way that Sterling treated them in many ways had a very ugly sort of undercurrent to it. He would apparently heckle some of his players and say really derogatory and mean things to them from the stands. And it just it's just a really upsetting situation. I personally didn't know about it until this weekend, but apparently some of these details have been out there for a while. And I really do think the NBA, the other owners, the prominent players, you know, LeBron James has come out and spoken on this, saying that there's no room for Sterling in the league. But I think, you know, whether it's the Clippers players, other owners, they really need to find a way to just get rid of this guy, get him out of the league, move the Clippers to a new owner, potentially Magic Johnson. Actually, they've been talking about that. He owns the Dodgers, of course, or is a part owner of the Dodgers. But
I think he's also a part franchise owner of a Los Angeles area TGI Fridays.
Oh, well, so he already has local investments. So, you know, there you go. And that would be, I think, kind of funny, just considering he sort of touched off this whole thing by just, like, taking a picture with some random woman. And then he might wind up owning the team. So, you know, you never know. It just it's a really, really ugly situation. And, you know, this guy clearly has an antebellum mindset where he's just he thinks of the Clippers sort of as his own personal plantation. One quote from the conversation we thought was telling, where he talks about, or she asks him, "Oh, don't you know you have a lot of black players on your team?" And he's like, "Oh, yes, of course I know about them. I give them food and clothes and cars and houses." And he's just like acting like, oh, I'm so great. Who gives it to them? Does someone else give it to them? Do I know now who makes the game? Do I make the game or do they make the game? There are 30 owners. That created the league. I mean, someone else is going to pay these guys to play basketball, Sterling. So, you know, step down off your high horse. You're not particularly important in regards to them. Doc Rivers is... you know, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, you know, these guys are the Clippers, not you. They were terrible for decades under Donald Sterling. And now that, you know, you've got a NBA championship winning coach in Rivers, and, you know, a couple of the best young stars in the league, you know, That's the reason that this is now a big issue. Apparently, people had known for decades about Sterling and his views, and now it's only really relevant now because the Clippers are finally good. So it's just a very interesting situation overall, and I guess I'll turn it over to Greg. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I found it very interesting that you brought up the point that a lot of people have known about Donald Sterling's, I guess, lack of character, for lack of a better term, for quite some time. I mean, this is not news to me. I've been following the Donald Sterling exploits for quite some time now, just because he seems like this sort of horrible rubber baron type. You know, you referenced earlier the housing settlement that he had to pay out for not allowing Black and Latino people to purchase or to live on his land. And then also you were referencing him yelling at players from the sidelines. I think in one in particular, there was a player that played on the Clippers named Baron Davis, who was an African-American man, and he was yelling things, particularly not anything racial to him, but just sort of calling him fat. And
yeah, he's out of shape.
Yeah, he has very erratic behavior. But I think that the thing that interests me the most about this story is sort of all of the myriad responses that we've seen from all different types of people, from all different types of demographics. I mean, you can start off with the immediate response from the Clippers, which was, I think, in a very symbolic gesture during the playoff game this weekend. Some speculation on Twitter and in the blogosphere, should the Clippers throw the playoff game that they were playing against the Golden State Warriors, which I thought was sort of absurd to even entertain the notion, because these are basketball players first and they want to win. But they play for this guy who holds these morally reprehensible views. And a lot of them, as you said, Nate, are African-American. And so their response was one that I thought was very, very loud in its silence. They came out during warmups for the playoff game, and they were all wearing their warm-up jerseys that say Los Angeles Clippers on them. They all wore them inside out, and it was a unified thing, so nobody had Los Angeles Clippers across their chest during warmups. And I thought that that was a very loud statement. I do, however, think that some people thought that they should have done more. I think that there was an article on Monday about how, I don't know how to get into this, the article on Gawker by a rapper, Homeboy Sandman, who sets himself up as a quote-unquote conscious rapper who is not rapping about materialistic things or misogynistic things. I'm a sort of a fan of his. Up until I read this piece that he wrote on Gawker, which I thought was problematic in that it said that African-American people were cowards. And you can go check it out on Gawker if it's the
I did, and I don't recommend it.
Yeah, it's called I think Black People Are Cowards. And yeah, it was I mean, like, from the stamp, I'll speak on it from the standpoint of, like, you know, being a white person. He said a lot of the criticisms that he had for the Los Angeles Clippers and how they handled the situation, and then he applied those to Black people as a whole, and then he applied that to some sort of moral judgment about, you know, how Black people need to be more aggressive about combating racism, and not what I think is the thrust of what we need to be talking about, which is, let's not tell the victims of racism that they need to act a certain way in order to not be victimized by racism. Let's tell the perpetrators of racism that they need to stop perpetrating racism. Because a lot of the things that he said in this article, the Homeboy Sandman article on Gawker, were as easily applicable to any human being, no matter their skin color, no matter their ethnicity, no matter their religion. And Homeboy Sandman acknowledges that later in the piece. He says that, you know, I don't actually think Black people are cowards. I think that humans are cowards. But it doesn't really speak truth to what he was writing, because he didn't write an entire article about how humans are cowards. He didn't write an entire article about how I am a coward, because I probably would have done the same thing. And so I just thought that was a problematic reaction. There have been, like I said, some admirable reactions as well. Nate was talking about how one of the people of contention on this girlfriend's Instagram was Magic Johnson. Another one was Matt Kemp of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he brought that up to her. And I think Matt Kemp is of mixed race. And so the girlfriend said, well, I didn't think that you were going to have a problem with that because he's mixed and he's actually lighter than I am.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting part of the conversation.
Yeah, and did you hear what he did yesterday?
No.
On Sunday, his walk-up music to the plate was Michael Jackson's Black or White. So I thought that was clever. Because, I mean, this is a really hurtful thing, and it's troubling that somebody in such a powerful position with so much money that can control so many people's destinies so, thinks this sort of thing, especially, you know, being an NBA owner. I don't know what the league is going to do in terms of punishment for Donald Sterling. They could suspend him, and they could go as far, you know, they could fine him, to suspend him. They could go as far as to, you know, strip the rights of the team away from him or force him to sell the team. I don't know what's going to happen, though, but it's definitely a black eye for the league, and it's not something that the league should have been surprised by. As we've talked about before, the character of Donald Sterling has been fairly widely known among the basketball community for a long time, and so I don't want to say that this came, I don't want to say that this was like, you know, ho-hum for me, but certainly if you would ask me, oh, what owner is going to say something racist, I probably would have said Donald Sterling. So we'll have to see how this pans out. If, in fact, the Los Angeles Clippers are, he's put under pressure to sell the Los Angeles Clippers, get out of the NBA as an owner, it's very possible that he might sue the NBA under antitrust laws, under breach of contract. There are various legal avenues that he can go after the NBA if they use the nuclear option and basically force him to sell the team. There's also the other issue that in California, there are wiretapping laws that if you make a recording of a conversation, both parties need to be aware of the conversation, that the recording is happening during the conversation. And if there's any expectation of privacy within the conversation, and there is one party that's unaware that the recording's being made, and that recording is illegal. So that may come play a role if this goes to court. But we'll ultimately have to see how this plays out in terms of what is the immediate future of Donald Sterling, what is the future of the Los Angeles Clippers players in the playoffs and beyond. I think it'll be really interesting if the Los Angeles Clippers advance to the finals and win. Typically, the owner is there to hoist the trophy. I'm sure a lot of people have seen Mark Cuban host the Dallas Mavericks NBA trophy when they won the NBA championship several years ago. I don't think that Donald Sterling is going to be welcome in the court, in the stadium when the Clippers win the NBA championship. So we'll have to see how this plays out.
Well, they got to get past Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors first, which is turning out to be a really interesting series. But I will just mention that there is there's a little bit of precedent for this. Apparently, there was an owner back in the 90s by the name of Marjorie Schott, who owned the Cincinnati Reds. And she was no along the same line. She just had a lot of delightful things to say about, her black players. You know, she would occasionally speak in a sing-song Japanese accent and throw around all sorts of racial slurs against Asians. And she was also of the opinion that Hitler, you know, he just doing things mostly right and just got off track a little ways. But he was
misunderstood.
He was good to start off with, and then, you know, things got a little out of hand. But, I mean, that sort of general stuff, oh, no, you did some good things. But eventually she was forced to sell the team as well or give up her majority stake. I think actually she stayed on as a minority owner, which is equally vile. But at least she wasn't running the day-to-day operations anymore as the president. But that took about 7 years. So hopefully we've advanced a little bit since then, and there will be enough overwhelming public pressure to, you know, either force the NBA to suspend him or oust him as the owner or do something. because this seems like it's a pretty tenuous scenario. I mean, it seems like a lot of people knew about this already, but when there's audio tape and something that's on TMZ, and especially now that the Clippers are actually contending for an NBA title, that just raises the pressure on him exponentially.
Yeah.
And I guess just there are a lot of things in this that are pretty saddening, but I guess it is somewhat good to see at least people begin to stand up and really attempt to call him out on this, because, I mean, the things that he's saying and the way he's treated his players are just not at all fair. And, you know, you got to hope that if they're not suspended, maybe they find a way that, you know, these players can become free agents and can leave the team if they want, if necessary. And I also will just say that this guy is completely incompatible with the future of basketball. Not only is the league overwhelmingly black, but if you look at where basketball is actually growing as a game, it's all across the world. It's in places like Asia, South America. You know, if you consider that basketball, similar to soccer in a lot of ways, is a it's a low-cost sport, as in you can practice it, you can play it without too much resource investment, which makes it very attractive in lots of places around the world, because really all you need is a ball and a hoop.
And this is going to run into a lot of problems, given that white people worldwide, despite calling themselves a majority here, are actually deep in the minority, you know, as a race. So if you're promoting white supremacy through your sports, your sporting stuff, that's not going to help with growing the sport outside.
Well, true, but also they're just because it's becoming a global game, and this guy apparently doesn't limit his racist views to just black people. I mean, I'm sure he has negative opinions of the South Americans. He talks about how Hispanics, all they do is smoke and drink all day. And also that black people smell, apparently. That's his, like, novel take or something. So anyway, you know, that would probably, the fact that there is a racist owner in the NBA, that might harm the growth of basketball around the world, and it's just incompatible with the future of basketball, when you'll have players like, you know, Thiago Splitters from Brazil, even players like Dirk Nowitzki, who's coming from Germany. You know, these are players from different cultures, and one of the things he talks about is how there's no way to change a culture just because, you know, the people were racist back when he was a child. That's the way it is, and that's the way it has to be forever. Like, apparently it doesn't enter his mind. There's potential that people could change their viewpoints and begin to accept other people where maybe they didn't 30 years ago. I mean, the entire landscape of American culture has changed during that time in large accounts to race, because there were a fair amount of people who were sort of in the middle. They weren't necessarily like virulent racist, but they weren't necessarily also like out there waving the flag of like racial harmony. And like there was a lot of racial tensions even amongst more moderate whites, you know, in the 80s, 70s, you know, going back then. So
the people who weren't actively promoting white supremacy but were benefiting passively from it and weren't eager.
And there's been a sea change amongst those white people. It's no longer nearly as accepted to be racist. So obviously racism is not gone in America, but I think the fact that we're now seeing a very different response to even back in the 90s when some of this stuff came out, I think that's a positive sign. And if we hope to continue to grow the game of basketball, we really need to get this guy out of the league.
Although I would caution that a lot of the like backlash now and the sea change that you're talking about is more toward like the overt racism. Some of the more subtle institutional racism, we're still having issues with dealing with
and,
that.
And that's more what I'm talking about, because some of this guy's like vocal statements had actually been on the record for a lot of them in court, actually.
Right.
So I guess people don't really pay attention to that, but they'll pay attention to TMZ. Which, I mean, if you listen to the whole audio, is you know, bizarrely fascinating. So I encourage everyone to take a listen to it.